Listen, welcome to Living by the Book for this week. I taught a message in our Church Unusual class, which will be your class next year, that I think you all need to hear. It's right on the line with what we need to do. One of the major things about us is you can't live by the book because the book is the word in the flesh. You can't live by Christ until you learn how Christ lives, until you know him and know what he expects of you. And I'm going to tell you now, what he expects of you is probably more than you're willing to give in your own self. And the key word that I want you to remember in this message that you're about to hear, deny yourself. When we begin to deny ourselves, we begin to see the word of God for what it truly is and what God is really saying to us and how we're supposed to live. This is the key. Check this out. Okay, class, welcome to Church Unusual, Matthew chapter 16. I want to deal with some things with us tonight as the church. I'm going to read a little bit over what we read already. But, you know, these classes, and especially this class, is not about an organization. Once again, I remember I told you we are the church. It's not about an organization, or it's not about an issue with somebody else. Every time I read the scripture, every time I hear Jesus talking, he's talking to me. And so before I begin to try to fix the world or fix an organization or whatever we want to call it, I fix me first. There's an old statement that said the chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? And the body is only as strong as its cells, as its organisms, the organizing of its organisms. And so we individually are part, we are the church, we make up the church, but we also make up pieces of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, read that. Matter of fact, let's go to Ephesians 4 first. We'll read a little bit there first, and I want to come back, because there's something I want to kind of really pinpoint. There's some things, man, that sometimes we look over, because we're religious and because we're spiritual, we look over them and we over-spiritualize them. We don't realize the actuality of what it's saying in simplicity. Without any deep, foggy, supernatural revelation, knowledge, mystery, it's just a simple statement a lot of times. And then in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, all right? And explains what that looks like, or how we know that it's finished. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and perfect means wholeness, filling your purpose, all that, right? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it says, until we measure up unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, not being a piece of Christ, not being around Christ, not having Christ's attribute, but until we measure up, there's no supernatural interpretation to the literal words that are written here. And it says, unto the measure of the stature. Stature means the size or the build or stature of the fullness of Christ. So that means our apostles, our prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are there for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying the body. But what that looks like is that we individually, you individually, measure up to the stature. And I'm glad he's using these words. I'm glad Paul used these words to really stress so nobody can have no wiggle room to get around it. To measure to the stature and the fullness of Christ, which means you can have part of it and be measuring up to some of it, but not all of it, right? Which defeats the purpose of what our apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are teaching us. It defeats that whole purpose. And then we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's not talking about doctrine in the church. Also, although there are windy doctrines in the church that'll take you somewhere, but there's doctrine all around us, educational and medical and entertainment doctrine, all these different doctrines all around us, right? Those who every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Watch this. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, and we'll slow down, may grow up cool. Grow up, and we think we're grown because we've grown, we a certain age or whatever. But watch this. May grow up, but it specifies how you grow up into him. It's talking about Christ. And then it says in all things, and these things are very absolute. That we grow up into him in all things. Say it, grow up into him in all things. I'll say it again, grow up into him, which is all things. And it says, which is the head, even Christ, which gives you no wiggle room. It gives you no room to over-spiritualize this or to make this a deep thing about something else. Or I was talking about when we do this a lot. And there's a message I want to preach one day called absolutes. Jesus was very absolute about some of the things, and we're going to go to one tonight. Very absolute about some of the things that he thought about us and what he thought that we should do and what our job was as followers of him. But we over-spiritualize it and we make it deep. And a lot of times over-spiritualizing and making things deep give us excuses not to be. Something that's plain written in plain English, and it gives the exact identification of who you are, but it gives ourselves the excuse. Like sometimes we give ourselves excuse. Sometimes, and I know this is the, you know, I know this is how they preach it, but they talk about the gospel. Jesus took our place so that we don't have to do it. Well, why would he tell me to take up my cross and follow him then? Why would he say the works that I do that you have? Why would he say the works that I do would you do also and greater works than these? Why would he say that to me if he took my place so that I don't have to do the work? We have to understand and really get context of what Jesus is saying, right? Because if you don't, one of the things about this, and in this church unusual, you know, we learned this in Living by Book class, is you have to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means everything you read in the scripture, you've got to bring it through Jesus' interpretation, his eyes. So even when you're reading Paul, you can read Paul just as Paul and take Paul's words as just Paul's words. And though as powerful as they may be, if you don't take them through the eyesight of Jesus, you don't really know what atonement is. You don't really know what sacrifice is. You don't really know what intercession is. And so now he's paid the price, but he's paid the price to show you how to pay the price in this earth. Listen to what I'm saying. These absolutes, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body. Verse 16, fitly joined together and compact about that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The two things I want to see. Verse 13, it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, that means we measure up. You see me, you see Christ. You measure up to as big as Christ. If Christ is 10 foot tall, I'm 10 foot tall. If he's 5 foot tall, I'm 5 foot tall. Whatever the stature and the measure, if Christ says 30 words, I say 30 words. If he say 59 words, I say 59 words. Whatever the stature or the measure of Christ is, whatever the stature of whatever he looks like or whatever it is that he is and his whole character entails and whatever comes with that, I grow up and measure up to that. And then the next part in the end of verse 15, grow up into him in all things. Now, here's the thing. And we can say that we can read this whole chapter. We're going to talk about this some more. But here's the thing. This is a chapter we use for ministry. It helps us for church. But here's the thing. To measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ, right, and to grow up into him in all things, number one, I have to know how to do it. But the best person to learn how to do this is from the person that it is. You know, if you wanted to do something like me, don't ask somebody down the street how I do it. They may give you a resemblance. I'll ask one of my close friends. You might ask one of my close friends, somebody that's really, really close to me, and ask how I would do it. And they may give you a resemblance of how, but nobody's going to tell you how to do it like me better than me. Why? Because I'm me. I have become the source of whatever that is you're trying to do if you're trying to do it like me. So now to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ, grow up in him in all things. Well, in order to grow up in him in all things, the best way to grow up into him is all things is to know him. Paul said it later in another chapter. He said that I may know him. Oh, you better get rid of what I'm about to say. Oh, come on, let's find that scripture. That I may know him. I think it's in I ain't got time to be looking for it right now. I'm teaching this class. Hold up. I'm about to find it. Look at my phone. If you know me, I don't rush, so I could care less how you feel. Yep, Philippians 3:10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship. Now, y'all, I want you to catch what I'm saying because everybody wants to know him. Philippians 3:10. I'm just reading one scripture, and then we're going to go back to Matthew's because it really hits home. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me to put this together. It says that I may know him, right? And I don't want to take this out of context. You need to read the whole chapter, but it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, we shout about that. We want power. Everybody wants power. You come to Jesus because you wanted power. You want the Holy Spirit to endue you with power, right? Power is resurrection. Woo, it's Easter Sunday. But then we get there and say, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And church gets very quiet when you start talking about, amen, y'all. Let's get prepared to fellowship in his sufferings. I get to church and I say, come on, the power is resurrection. Oh, amen, I receive it, I receive it. Let's receive the fellowship of his sufferings. We lift your hands. Lift your hands and be prepared to receive the fellowship of his sufferings. People will be like, oh, you get the little half hand raised because the fellowship of his suffering. But I thought you said you wanted to know him. Power of resurrection. But you can't know that until you understand, until you know him as in the fellowship of his suffering. And it says, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not as though, verse 12, not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I want you to underline that. Follow after. Underline, know him in verse 10, and then in verse 12, say follow after. Say, everybody say this, say follow after. Now, I want to see if you're a real follower. We're going to find out in a minute. It's very absolute. And he does not give any side wiggle room or ways to get out of this. Now, we're still talking about the church, because I want to show you who the church is and what they look like, who you are and what you look like and what you should be. But I follow after that I may apprehend for that which I am also apprehended of Christ. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's very easy to quote these things. We didn't quote that scripture before. I press. For the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? We say all these different things, but I still go back to the fellowship of his sufferings. We read over very, very fast. Some of you know this by heart. We read over them fast, but we don't realize what this is really saying. You cannot benefit in the power of his resurrection without understanding the fellowship of his sufferings. It's like me giving you $1 million and you not knowing how I got the million. The old statement says, you give a man a fish, he eat for a day. Teach him how to fish, and he can eat for a lifetime. He becomes the source of being able to eat or sustain himself. But if I just continue to keep giving it to you, Jesus paid the price for me, so I ain't got to do it. That's a faulty gospel. Yeah, I said it. Send it to your favorite preacher. This is a faulty gospel. To say that you are receiving something without having to do anything. Fact of the matter is, you already had it before Jesus died, but he just showed you how to access what you have already. Let's get it. If we really want to get to it, God breathed in the man, and man became a living soul. How you breathing something? Y'all know how to blow. You blow up your food or something, right? But I never saw a scripture say God inhaled man back out of the body, and now they just walking around as sinners. Never read that scripture, because he didn't. The Spirit of God was still inside of man, but man was confused because he thought he was smarter than God. Ever since he ate from this tree. So now here we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son is not what you think it is. And here's a tickle. We read it like somebody quoted that. Jesus said that himself. You can go read his red words. John 3:16, Jesus said it himself. It's a mind blower to me. For God so loved the world, or loved the harmony. The world means the harmony that he made already together. He liked how he set it up. He liked how he made you. He liked how he made man and woman. He liked how he made mankind and breathed in it. He so loved how he had set it up already. But I got to send my only begotten son. Son means equal with God. It means do it the same way God would do it. I got to send myself in the flesh to show you who you are in the flesh. Because you're my son and my daughter in the flesh as well. But I got to show you how to do it, that I may know him. Can't be church unless we get past, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. I heard the word conformable, and it said conform to, receive the same form as. That means being made to take the same form as unto his death. Everybody want to join the church. See, most people join the church because they want to go to heaven, because somebody scared the hell out of them talking about they're going to burn in hell forever. Or you join the church because you're trying to get healed. Or you join the church because you're trying to get your life right and you're trying to get your habits right. And all those things will be added unto you. Yeah, join the church because you want the ticket to heaven. All these things, you want to beat an addiction. All these things will be added. But the seek ye first the kingdom of God has nothing to do with all them things. Those things are results of you seeking the kingdom first. But what is the kingdom of God? We ask those questions all the time. What's God's way of doing things? Well, what is God's way of being the church? What is God's way of doing things? If God has a way to do things, then I need to know that I may know him. If God has a way to do things, then I need to know, God, how do you do it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What do we believe about Jesus? What should we be believing, right? Okay, listen, go back to Matthew chapter 16, we want to know, say, if you believe him, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to know the power of the resurrection, right? Watch this. And I'm going to make it very, very simple, but sometimes it's asking for more than you're willing to give, because we've been so indoctrined with this system. I hear apostles say this sometimes. He said there's so many things that, I want to jump ahead of myself. I'll get to it. Matthew chapter 16. And we read down, who do men say that I am? Thou the Christ, blessed son of Jonah. And he says, and verse 18, and I say also to thee, remember that, you too. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So my church will be built upon this understanding, upon this identity. Thou art Peter, upon this identity. I call you rock now. I call you rock because you understand the revelation. Revelation leads you to being the rock. Not revelation to add, but a revelation of the identity of the Messiah causes you to be the rock, because it tells you who you really are. Listen to what I'm saying. It changes your form. It solidifies your form. Listen to what I'm saying. Verse 20, then he charged the disciples. Remember, we started reading that. He charged the disciples, they should tell no man that he was the Christ. Verse 21, now Jesus starts to tell his disciples how this works, that I may know him. So now if I want to know him, I have to spend time with him. If I spend time with him, he will begin to tell me who he is. And he begins to tell them who he is, right? And it sounds like the fellowship of his suffering. Now, this hadn't even happened yet. It was going to happen, but it sounds like the fellowship of his suffering. And it says, from that time, for Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer, fellowship of his suffering. So I didn't even put these together. Y'all, I didn't come in the notes. I didn't even put these together. But God, you know, the Holy Spirit will tie them together. They tie them together in you first. These tie them together. And suffer many things of the elders. And he didn't say the street people. He said the elders and the chief priests and the people in the church and the scribes. That's the ushers and the deacons and all them. And be killed and raised again on the third day. Sounds like the fellowship of his suffering to me. Sound like Jesus explaining to them himself who he is and the process that he had to go through. Sounds like that's God's way. Seek ye first the kingdom. Sounds like this was God's way of doing things. You all think God's way of doing things the way you do normal church. You want to pray in tongues, and you want to worship, and you want to dance, and you want to shout, and you want somebody to intercede for you. You want to lay hands and put all on different things. And amen, God bless all of that stuff. But these are not the foundational ways, because all of those are forms of godliness, but deny the power, because the power of his resurrection is in the fellowship of his suffering. And he begins to tell them everything that's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Sounds like fellowship of suffering to me. And here we go, Peter, the same one that he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And find yourself, let me say this real quick, find yourself. This is how, what I'm about to read is how we've been doing church. This is how we've been functioning as the church. Watch this. Now Jesus explains to them how it works. He just tell you, you got the revelation, so you must really know who I am. So if you really know who I am, you really know the Father, because only the Father could have revealed it to you. This is what he's saying. So now I have the ease to explain to you how this thing really works. You said you know, right? Okay, you said you got a revelation, right? All right. Some of y'all say y'all called. You want to be ministers. Okay, I hear you. We about to see. So Jesus began to explain. Here's what we look like. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Would you shut up, please? You going to God with your prayers and your requests of how you think things are supposed to go and want God to do them the way you think they're supposed to do. They're not going to go that way. If they were going to go that way, those prayers that you've been praying and yelling would have been answered and the world would have been changed, but it didn't. Listen to what I'm saying. Took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, it shall not be unto thee. Now, Peter, is that the Christ? Well, yeah, he the Christ. Well, you think he know what he's talking about? Yeah, he know what he's talking about. Well, do you really know he the Christ? Are you copping out right here? Are you punking out right here? Are you saying, oh, I don't really want to do this? So you acting like you're trying to protect him? Verse 23, listen to this. But he turned, talking about Jesus, said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. This boy, in a matter of seven scriptures, turned from church to the church to Satan. Thou art an offense to me. Offense means a stumbling block. You're in my way. For why? How do I know you're in the way? For thou savorest the things, not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I would hear apostles say things, and now I understand. He says, you know, we got too many things that come in the church that are man's ideas. That's the system's way of doing things. And so we've systemized the church, and we've lost the power. You got to acknowledge that. If the church is all powerful like Jesus said, and we represent Jesus, and Jesus did what he did, but we ain't doing nothing that he did, because ain't nobody done nothing like he did since he did what he did, especially nobody don't want to die for nothing. Nobody don't want fellowship in his suffering. We want the blessing and we want the birthright, all these words, blessings and birthright, and we want the favor of God, and we want the flow, the rivers to flow. We want it, all those are results of fellowships of his suffering. He's going to tell you in a second. There's so many things that come in the church that are man's ideas, and I made it personal today, and it really hit me when I was thinking about this. He said there's so many things that have come in the church. If I'm the church, there's so many things that have come in the church. Inside my body is a temple, inside of my temple. Right? That has perverted the way God really wants to move from the inside. I've let all these other people's ideas, he's been rebuking me about that just recently, all these other ideas and all these comparisons, you looking over there, looking over there, look on the inside. He didn't tell you look nowhere else but in the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first three letters of seek is see. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This is what we look like. This is what we do like as a church. So we're savoring the things. I said the American Christian church has become the American dream. We want the blessings and we want the birthright, like I said. We want all different things and everything to happen. And all those things are provided of God, but they are things that are being added to you, Matthew 6. The kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, works a certain way. Everybody wants resurrection, but don't nobody want to die. I be saying it all the time. Everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. But they say heaven a better place. And they got the nerve to cry for people that go before you. Well, if heaven is such a better place than here, shouldn't you be applauding that they made it? We don't be believing the stuff that we say in church. And stuff that we say as church. We just be parakeeting. We just be repeating what other people say, trying to be spiritual and deep. Then verse 24, get real. Jesus said unto his disciples, and he starts explaining what this is, right? He says, if any man will come after me, now remember we're talking about follow. Remember we're talking about follow over in Philippians. I think it was, let me go back and read it again. Over in Philippians, he's talking about following. Let me get to it. Yep, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That's verse 12, I follow after. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But you cannot follow him. We're a follower of Christ. You can't be a follower of Christ if you haven't denied yourself. I'll stop smoking. I'll stop drinking. I don't be a dog. I stop going to the club. Bravo for you. That's not denying yourself. I want you to deny yourself about those things that you think are supposed to happen. Jesus started talking, he said, and he's going to say in a minute, he said, for whosoever, take up the cross and follow me, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. You trying to save the life that you got? You're going to lose it. You're trying to be saved. You're going to save in your definition. You'll lose it. And whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus started talking. He said some absolute things. He started talking about, he said, ain't nobody. He said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom? He said, ain't nobody that left, that forsook houses and lands and mothers and fathers. Jesus, and wives and children. Jesus, that's everything. He said, for my sake and the gospel, who won't receive a hundredfold now in this time? He's really challenging us to deny those things that we think are the most important. I'll never forget, he read and he said, it's going to be like that in the days of Noah. He said, they were eating and drinking, sound like everything we do. He said, they were buying and selling, sound like everything we do. And he says, they were marrying and giving a marriage, sound like all the things that are most important to us. He said, and the flood came and killed them all, and they ain't even know it was coming. But that's all the important things to do. Buying, selling, eating, drinking, marrying and getting married. I thought those were important things. He ain't say tricking and thugging and killing and sexing. He ain't say none of that stuff. And stealing, he ain't say none of that. He said the stuff that was simple and practical, and you're doing it on a daily basis, and you telling me the flood can come and you won't know. Yeah, the flood will come and you won't know because you have not denied yourself. Here's one for you. You can put this down. This will be on the test. That denial is discernment. You cannot be discerning if you have not denied. Why? Because you're living in a dream world. Your vision will be dreary because you're looking at everything else, right? You can't even see what the truth is because you have not denied that version of yourself or this version of self that the system has given you over the years of your life. He starts saying heavy stuff. Lose your life to find it. This becomes the fellowship of his suffering. If any man will come after me, he ought to deny himself. Now, this is one of the messages that is not prevalent. And so they tell you, stop sinning, but we don't even know what sin means. The word sin is an archery term. That means to miss the mark. What mark? You've been marked. You've been marked. You've been called. God has marked you already. And they used to tell me, boy, your daddy marked you. Boy, you look just like your daddy. Exactly. And we look just like our Father God. We've been marked, but we're missing the mark. And see, the effects of sin, these actions are just effects of a sin mentality. It's not It's not your nature. It's not naturally who you are. Your nature is God's nature. You were made in God's image and likeness. Some kind of way, this thing kind of got into your mind through system and maybe how you were raised and then your DNA through your family and all that stuff like that, and generation curse and all that stuff like that. But now we have a new way, but we've got to deny ourselves, deny the thought process of who we think we are. Sometimes they say, well, they got some good stuff in that. Deny it. And take up the cross and come follow me. You don't even know who you are until you follow me that way. There's a lot of people trying to follow Jesus with all their baggage, but you can't hold your cross if you're holding your things. You can't take up the cross if you've already got your title. You're already a bishop. You already a pastor. You already an apostle. You already an elder. You already an assessor. You already got the gift of worship. Throw all that down. Shut up. Deny yourself. Jesus told me you even got to deny the good stuff that you think is good because you don't even know what's good. You don't even know what's inside of you until you deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. Fellowship of his suffering. They're straight up and down. There's no revelation knowledge. You don't need a spirit to come in, fly like a dove. Deny yourself. And we've been functioning like the church with ourselves making the rules. The church as a whole has been functioning off of men, saving the things that be of men and not of God and making our own rules. And we have not denied ourselves enough to function as the church that Christ has called us to be. But it begins there. We'll talk more about that. That's the end of this class. I want you to make sure you study these. We'll go over the tape over and over again because it'll change your life. And I'll see y'all next class.